Take your Bible tonight and go to Ephesians chapter 5.
Ephesians chapter 5.
But it's Wednesday night, but you haven't been in church for two Sundays. So I figured you'd be ready for it. Now, I've already heard one testimony of that. So I hope you're, you know, ready for all that. Now, Brother Tom, Lord willing, if we get to pray and he gets healed up, he'll be back in Sunday morning. This is not really a Sunday morning message, but a few weeks ago, it's been months now. It may have been back in June, July, August, right in there. I preached a message here on the church called The Anatomy of the Church. And I talked about the foot bone connected to the leg bone. You remember, some of you remember that, some of you don't. I talked about the church being like a body and then some of the things that go wrong. Well, in that church message, there are four or five messages on the church in a series of church messages that I'd put together for a special revival meeting and held that meeting, and I'd never preached those messages any other time. So tonight, I'm going to preach the second message in the series. You're getting them 5 months apart, but I don't preach much here in the pulpit. I do some teaching. I teach Sunday morning, and then I teach the Institute class, but tonight we'll try to bring you a message out of Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 25. And this is a church. This is a message on the church, and we understand that the church. And I'm not talking about so much the brick and mortar tonight, or the concrete, or the pews, or the carpet. I'm talking about the people that are saved that make up the local assembly. That'd be people that have stepped up to the responsibility of actually joining a local church. And what's that mean? That just means saying somewhere in a public way, I want to be a part of this assembly. People say, well, I just show up. I thought I was a part. Well, you are, but you're not a member of that body. You're a member of yourself or nobody. So there's always a conflict there because people say, well, why do I have to be a member in a church? Because it's a scriptural thing, and people miss that thing because they don't want the responsibility that comes with being a member of something. If you join the Masonic Lodge, you got to be a member. You got to pay dues. You got to do all that. My dad was a coon hunter. He belonged to the Coon Hunters Association. And you had to join, and it generally meant money. You know, back then, $50, you could get in for a year, and you hunted. If you wanted to be a part of the Wanish, you have to join, and you have to believe their covenant or their bylaws. That's how it is with the church. See, where do you get that? First Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2, where the church is a local assembly. By the time you get to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, they've got trouble in the church, but now they have a membership whereby they can discipline from that membership because there was one taken in sin. And if he wasn't a member, they wouldn't have cared. But he says, when you come together and meet together, set that one outside of the local assembly or the membership of the church. That guy had been taken in sin. So there's a discipline thing in the church. There's responsibility. So when you got somebody that won't join the church but wants to say, that's a sorry rascal. Amen. Say, oh, Brother Phil, I want you to teach tonight. I'm preaching, amen? I mean, I ain't been in church for two Sundays. There's preach running out of every pore of my body. I mean, it's running out my ears. It's running out my nose. And you're going to get some of it tonight, amen? I hope they tape it and send it all across the country, amen? Here, look what it says. Husbands, now let me put this down where we can get it. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, he said something like that over in Titus 3:15. That's my other text verse. Titus 3:15. All that are with me salute thee. Greet them that love us in the faith. See who he's talking about? He was talking to the church, a body of assembled believers that had got together to meet on a regular basis and preach and teach the Word of God and reach out with the Great Commission to win others for the glory of God. He says, greet them that love us in the faith. So in Ephesians 5:25, our text, Christ also loved the church. Husbands, love your wives. We're familiar with the analogy in the Bible and the subject lesson, how Christ loves the church just like a husband loves his wife or a wife loves his husband. Husbands, you do love your wives. Amen. Wives, boy, I'm looking careful. You do love your husbands. Let's see. Honey, there's something special on sale this week down at Walmart. Could you give me an extra $20? No. Sure, you know, I think about my great love for you. Well, I got an extra $100. I got an extra $20 bill right here. Well, you say you had $100? Well, I could use $100. I really could. And you're going to, if you really love her and you can spare it, you know you're going to shell that money out and give that to her. You say, why? Because you love her. Now, that's pretty practical preaching right there, ain't it? But, man, if you love somebody, you're going to help that individual. You're going to give to that individual. And if they want something, oh, honey, I wish you'd bake me a cherry pie. You may go down there to the store and buy that cherry pie and smear whipped cream all over the top and try to convince him you made it, but that's it. Man, he'll eat that thing smiling, thinking the whole time, she loves me. Man, she made my favorite meal and cooked my pie. Whole time she bought it down at the Kroger store. But you know what I'm saying? Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. There's a love affair with Christ and the church. And I believe tonight, if we love our wives, we ought to be able to understand the love Christ has for the church. And we too ought to love the church. Amen. Uh-oh. A little weak back through the ranks. Said, Brother Phil, there ain't nobody here. There's enough. This is the church. Don't confuse the church with the crowd on Sunday morning. The crowd is not the church. The crowd is the crowd. The crowd is the sick, lame, and lazy coming in to get a little tickling and a little fluff. They ain't here because they love the church. They're here because they want to appease their conscience. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching. Said, you're right. You ain't been preaching, so you're all wound up. Yeah. Yeah. Say, are you Pentecostal? No. But I could pass for one, amen. Mech Church. Did anybody eat at McDonald's this week? Ain't that a good place to eat? I mean, well, everybody wants fast food. That's what people think of the church. Why, that Sunday morning crowd, they don't love the church. They want Mech Church. Amen. Our culture demands convenient Christianity. We want it short, simple, fast, and cheap. Amen. The McBible does not have the tedious 66 books, but just a few with short sentences and simple words at a fourth grade level. There are numerous pictures, and some pages have been ruled with lines so that you can add your own spiritual thoughts just in case you get a new revelation. The McWorship service, I mean, that's what people want. They don't want old-fashioned hellfire and damnation. Preach at they want a Mech Church just like a McDonald's, amen. Fast, cheap, and man, convenient. You know, coming to church on Wednesday night ain't convenient. I got a whole page of this Mech Church stuff. I won't bore you with it because I ought to. The Mech pastor is a touchy-feely guy who majors in pop psychology and has an in-depth understanding of feely needs. Yeah, that's your average Mech pastor, like McDonald's. But you know what? The Holy Ghost of God loves the church tonight. The Word of God even loves the church and speaks of the church. The saints of old, from anywhere you read in the Word of God that had any kind of understanding of the Word of God, loved the church of God. The church is something, the church is a little heaven on earth. That's what it should be. But everybody sees it as a McDonald's or a quick fix or a Sunday morning come to meeting time and leave and forget about church the rest of the week. I've been kind of praying, Lord, most folks, if they miss two Sundays in a row, they're just about out of church. Amen. And we just missed two Sundays in a row. I'll guarantee you, there'll be a bunch of them won't make up that tithe. Oh, be nice, be sweet. Be holy and sanctimonious and pious. Don't hurt anybody's feelings. Oh, don't hurt our feelings. Listen, if your wife asked you for $20 and you loved your wife and you had the $20, you'd give it, wouldn't you? But you don't love the church. And some people on a routine basis don't give anything to the church and want to tell you, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how. And they can sing, man, about how they love. You don't love Jesus because Christ is the head of the church. And the church is all about Christ. And Christ loved the church. And if you don't give to the church, I'm on money right now. You know I am. Then you're giving wrong. You're living wrong. You're cheating wrong. And, you know, people say, don't run over the Old Testament and condemn us for not giving. Why not? That's what the Jew was doing in the book of Malachi, bringing the sick, lame, and halt to the altar and offering it before the Lord. And he said, ye have cheated me in tithes and offerings. I got news for you. The average Baptist does the same thing. Amen. Boy, we're having a time now. The word church has the sound of something commonplace to most folks. Indifferent, superfluous. It does not make the heart beat any faster when you say, I'm going to church. They say, oh God, we're going to church. No! What's wrong with folks? Something with which a sense of boredom is often associated when you say, I'm going to church. They say, you ain't got nothing better to do. That's the average mentality of so-called Christians that are members in churches. Now, I look here. I love the church. You ought to love the church tonight. I guess I could have entitled this, Why I Love the Church, but I'm going to entitle it, Why You Ought to Love the Church. I know I love the church tonight. I love the church because it's a supernatural thing. I love the church because the Bible speaks of the church. I believe in the church, and I love the church, and I do. Listen, do you realize I've lived most of my life in church? I love the church. I missed two Sundays. Now, I didn't miss some folks. Be careful. But I love the church, and I love those people that I know are faithful and that are true. And I love those people that love the church, and they reciprocate that love one to another. And it admits, and you see it on their face. You feel it in their handshake, and you see it with a smile on their face. You say, why? They simply love the church. That's why. I love the church. I love to serve the church. I wouldn't take anything for my love of the church and ministry. My whole life has been lived in the church, and I want to keep living in the church. I love the church because the devil can't defeat the church. I think the Bible says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of God. I love the church because the devil can't defeat it. The church is a work in progress. Still being joined. Take your Bible and go to Ephesians chapter 2. And let me give you a few scriptures as we go. But he says here, it's a work in progress. It continues to build. Now, I'm not talking about the brick and mortar. I'm not talking about the parking lot we're trying to pave and the plants we're trying to plant. I don't care too much about any of that stuff. It just needs to get done, and we got to get her done. But watch, he says, in whom all the building, verse 21, Ephesians 2, all the building, he's not talking about brick and mortar here. He's talking about the structure of the body, which is called the church. He's talking about people joining together. He says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. I love the church tonight because it's a work in progress. It's a growing work. It's a supernatural work. It's a work that God loves himself. I love the church tonight. You ought to love the church. I don't like some people in the church. Well, there's people here don't like you either, so we're okay. Let's get past the third grade. Amen. Now, come on. People, oh, you don't know what she said to me. He raised a row the other day, and brother, and my kids are married to their kids, and we just can't see eye to eye, and we can't get along. You need to get over yourself and fall in love with something other than the flesh. Fall in love with the Holy Ghost of God. Holy Ghost of God ain't never fell out with anybody yet. Oh, you've grieved him, you've quenched him, you've hurt him, but he still loves you. He still loves you. The Lord himself is building the church, number one. The church is the New Testament counterpart of the Old Testament temple. You know, when you study the temple, it's a great study. We do not have time tonight, but the church in the New Testament, well, that which we enjoy today, this assembling of God's people, those people that have united together and had responsibility enough to step up and say, I want to be a part of this group, and I want the world to know I'm part of Hope Baptist Church because I love the church tonight. I understand you got to go where you fit. I got that. I understand everybody's not going to fit in your church, but find a church someplace that you can get in and love and be a part of. So the New Testament church is a counterpart of the Old Testament temple, not the building, but the body of all true believers. It is a spiritual building. The Lord himself is building that spiritual building. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Peter said this, "Ye also as lively stones." That's something that's alive. Spirit, he's speaking spiritually. "Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." I think of that song that I've heard Born Again sing a few times. And they ain't talking about a brick and mortar thing. They're talking about a spiritual building. I'm working on a building. Amen. Now, the guy that wrote it might have been talking about the wrong thing. I don't know, but there'd be two applications of that thing. So here, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, Paul writes this to these backslidden Christians, these babes in Christ, these carnal people. He says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are." Listen, I love the church because I'm part of the building, and I don't want to defy the Holy Ghost of God. I don't want to defy this temple where the Holy Ghost dwells. I love the church. Oh, back to my text. Husbands, love your wives. Oh. When's the last time you told her you love her? When you was trying to get that cherry pie. Yeah. Well, you're supposed to love her unconditionally. Whether she cooks or don't cook. I mean, when we got married on top of the hardware store down there in Jamestown, Tennessee, when old Judge Crook, that was his name, Walked into that one. Walked up in there and he said, son, I had my dress greens on. I was a PFC getting ready to deploy for overseas. And my wife, my girlfriend and I, let me stop right there. Bonnie and I. He said, you take this woman to be your wife, to love and to hold. And he went through that whole thing. I said yes to all of them. Say, why? I loved her. 50 years later, I still love her. And that's how Christ loves the church. We ought to love the church because Christ loves the church. It's a picture of how the man loves the woman. And I'm afraid that crowd you see come most of the Sundays don't love the church like God loves the church. I wonder if they even, well, I won't go there. I was going to say, if they even love their wife. I don't know. I mean, that's the analogy. That's the subject lesson. That's what God told us. He said, practice that. Look at that. Learn that lesson. Love the church like Christ loves the church, like husbands love your wives. Well, the place where God manifests his glory on earth is the church. The focal point of spiritual worship for the redeemed is the church. It's where we meet. It's where we sing. It's where we give. It's where we fellowship. It's where we cry. It's where we pray. It's where we bury our loved ones. It's where we marry. Love the church. God himself is the architect and builder of the temple. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 19. I was there in chapter 2 a moment ago. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. He's talking about the church, fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God. I love the church because I'm part of that thing. I got part of that thing when I got saved, put in the invisible body, but I become a visible member when I joined a local assembly. And that's Hope Baptist Church. I love the church. Ephesians 2:20, 2:21, 2:22. I read them before. And I'll not read them again right now. Let me say, secondly, the church is the outworking of an eternal plan. It's bigger than just a building set alongside the road. And I'm not talking about the concrete. The church, this assembly of believers, is the outworking of an eternal plan, something we didn't know nothing about, but God knew everything about. Titus chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, watch it, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, watch verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. I'm telling you, the church is an eternal plan. Before the world ever began. You want a reason to love the church because you're a part of something bigger than you are. The church. I love the church. I don't know, maybe I'm supposed to be teaching tonight. I don't know. But I'm having the time though. Hey, you didn't get no preaching Sunday. You didn't get no preaching last Sunday. If you'd have come Saturday, I'd preach a little till Friday night. That was a funeral though. You wouldn't want to have been in on that. Listen, I like to preach the word of God. He said, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering doctrine. I like to preach the word just once in a while. Amen. And I got wound up on the church here. Watch. To whom then did God make this promise? Why? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who hath saved us? Well, it's the Lord. And called us, it's the Lord, with an holy calling. That's the Lord. Not according to our works. Oh, no, nothing you could have done. But according to his own purpose and grace. You see, God has a purpose, and his grace is unlike any other grace. Which was given, watch it, I love this, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then he tells Titus in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, don't you love that? When it says that cannot lie, He ain't lying. This ain't no story. I mean, this is the truth, he says, which cannot lie. Promised before the world began. It's an eternal program, this thing called the church. I love it tonight. Well, this is a staggering reality. In the mystery of the Trinity, talk about that. We see an eternal love between the members of God of the Godhead. When we read John 17, 24, there's an indication and a teaching. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Does anybody have any doubt this evening that the church is a Johnny-come-lately thing? No. That good old book, that gospel true book, that old black back 1611 Bible is saying it was an eternal thing. God had a purpose before the world began in the church. I like that. I'm a part of that thing. That love must find an expression. Husbands, love your wives. Love must find an expression. God loves the Son and made a pledge to the Son. Acts 15, verse 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name from every tribe and people and tongue and nation. Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations. Listen. The church will allow anybody since the time of the church, and that would be about Acts chapter 2, somewhere in there, when the church was formed. Anybody that gets saved can be a part of that eternal purpose and that plan. You know, when you get saved today under the economy of the New Testament, like salvation that we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, and verse 13, you are placed in the body of Christ over there, and you ought to, as quickly as you can, become a member of a Bible-believing assembly someplace. You say, why? Because that was the purpose of God, because the church is supposed to go out and win them. The church is quite a jewel. When we come to the Word of God, quite a prize. I believe it's likened to a pearl in the field. Quite a prize, this thing we call. Man, when I found the church, I didn't know nothing about the church when I got saved. I didn't know nothing all about the church. I knew I was an old, dirty, rotten sinner. Say, at 12 years old? Yeah, at 12 years old, I was pretty rough. I'd run with Tom enough to... No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. Take that off tape. Edit that out. No, I'm right there with him. We'd low crawl around at that family reunion, brother. And he showed me how after dark, we'd low crawl up to where they were sitting and check all the beer bottles, see if there's anything left. Said, you little rascals. Yeah, that's about 10, 11, 12 years old. Oh, aren't you glad God saves old sinners? Amen. This would form a living temple for the Holy Spirit, becoming the very dwelling place of God. That's your body, which makes up the assembly, the local assembly, which is the church of God. So here in Ephesians 2:21, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. And I read you verse 22 earlier. In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. It's where God habitates. And it was proposed before the world began. It was, if you please, an eternal plan. Could I say lastly? I think this is last. Yep, it's last. Just about, or I lost a page. The church is an earthly expression of heaven. Could we say the church ought to be a little heaven on earth? Amen. I mean, if it's a real God-loving, God-fearing, husbands love your wives kind of church. Another reason to love the church is it is like heaven on earth, I guess I could say. I don't mean it's perfect, but rather it is the one place where all that occurs in heaven also occurs on earth. You see, God ordained the church and he's looking out for the church, and those that are in heaven today rejoice over one sinner that repentance in the church today. So I'm sure God wants this to be a little heaven on earth. Matthew chapter 6 verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now that could be the kingdom of heaven, but boy, I like that verse. God wants there to be some things on earth like there are in heaven. Say, what are you trying to say? I love the church tonight because it's the only place I know you can go to get in on spiritual, holy spiritual activities. You don't get it at the ball game. Oh, you get something. You can get revved up down there. You can get drunk up down there. You can get goofed up down there. You can get beat up down there. Do I hear an amen anywhere? Listen. But in church, you ought to come because you get spiritually involved. You get spiritually blessed when they sing the songs and when they get up and sing the specials, and they're not trying to be anybody special. They're just singing because they love God and they love the church and they love the people of God and the people that make up the church. The church is an earthly expression of heaven. You don't find that in Congress. Huh? No. Nor the Supreme Court and all those justices. I don't think you can find it in City Hall. No, no. Listen, when heaven comes to earth, the one thing we see or should see is worship. And it shouldn't bother you if old sister so-and-so raises her hands and says, praise the Lord. Or shouts, praise the Lord. It shouldn't bother you when some old gray-haired saint of God says, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I love church. Huh? Say, why? Well, that's the only heaven on earth you're going to ever find. Right here. When heaven comes to earth, the one thing we should see is true worship. Isaiah chapter 6, a little heaven came down, in the form of God on the throne, and Isaiah was on the earth. He's a picture of earthly dwellings and earthly things, but when heaven came down, verse 1 through verse 3, he worshiped God, and he said, here am I, send me, and he took a coal off the altar and put it on his lips, and he went everywhere preaching. In the Spirit of God. Say, what was that? That was a little heaven came down. And what's that song say? Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I don't know if we sing that song here. But boy, when you get a congregation of a couple hundred people singing that and they're raising the shingles off the roof, you don't find that at a high school football game. Revelations 4, little heaven came down, verse 8 through verse 11. I won't take the time. So worship is to be found in the church, 1 Corinthians 14:25. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. You say, where's that? That's in the church. You know, it's okay to come down to an old-fashioned altar and not confess any sin. It's okay to get out of your pew and come and steal away someplace where you feel comfortable at an old-fashioned altar and just tell God, I love the church, Thank you for the church. It's my haven. I want to worship you. Put your hand up and say, glory be to God, you saved my soul. I don't have to worry about dying and going to hell. It's okay to make a trip to the altar. And every once in a while, everybody ought to make a trip to the altar and just tell God, thank you for the church. I love the church. He said, you preach like this everywhere you go? That's why I'm home all this winter. I don't have no place to preach. The church. 1 Corinthians 14:26. I read you verse 25 talking about worship. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you has a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying. In other words, forget about your complaining, whining, and crying and belly aching. Just be glad you're in the church where there's some other folks that just want to love God. Yeah, they care, but boy, they get tired of hearing about your wimpy whining 24/7. Oh, brother so-and-so didn't even shake my head. Sister so-and-so. Look, get over some of that stuff. Fall in love with the church tonight. The church is not perfect. It's full of imperfect people. That's why we have the Holy Ghost of God and the Word of God. They're perfect. They balance out the plan. Don't you see it? You're not perfect, but that book is perfect. The Holy Ghost is perfect. And brother, when he can work with the supernatural powers of this Word of God, brother, he'll balance out your old imperfect life. Amen, Brother Phil, that's good preaching, even if it is Wednesday night. Well, I'm going to have to wind this thing up. The second activity of heaven is not only worship, exaltation. And that's a good word. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him. I'm in Philippians 2:9. And given him a name which is above every name. And we sing of the lovely name of Jesus. There's no other name given among men whereby you must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. And we sing about that holy name. Verse 10 of Philippians 2. And at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. Of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. We're so complicated with the affairs of life. We're so confused with the sins of the world and our own stubbornness and rebellion that we can't exalt the Savior when we come to church once in a while. It's good to have a testimony once in a while. Just say, you know, you're not telling anybody about your dog that's sick. Oh, don't get me started. That ain't a testimony. The world's wrong with you. A testimony is, oh, how I love Jesus. For 50-something years, I've been saved. 60-something years. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. I just want to praise his name. I want to exalt him tonight. I want to extol my Savior and say it in the presence of the other. I don't care about your cat. I don't care about your dog. I care about my Savior. A third is the preservation of purity and holiness. You should find worship. You should find exaltation. In the church, there should be preservation of purity and holiness. That's why you always see us holding up this old book. And you always see us speaking in reverence of the presence of the Holy Ghost of God, not grieving or quenching Him. Listen, there is the preservation of purity and holiness. Heaven is a holy place, so there ought to be a little holiness in the church down here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it proclaims, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. I'm afraid people are so full of themselves and so full of sin, so full of the world. They're not full of the holiness of God. It's not there, but oh, how I love Jesus. It says, I married that old guy. I don't know why I even married him. I don't love him. Yeah, I married that old gal. I don't love her. Listen, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. What's wrong with us today? Why are our marriages failing? If our marriages are failing at the rate that statistics say they're failing, I submit to you tonight, the church is hurting, because when marriages and families are hurting, churches are hurting. Amen. The fellowship of the saints in the church. I'm glad to be around you tonight. Now, you may not want to shake my hand when we go out, but it's okay. Which is a picture of our fellowship with the saints in heaven. The church then is an earthly expression of heaven. It is the closest we can get to heaven on earth. Go to church! And not just on Sunday. There's a lot of talk about, well, I'm looking for a user-friendly church. You moron, what have you been listening to? You ain't been in the Bible. What are you talking about? A user-friendly church. I ought to read the rest of this Mac church thing. User-friendly. Well, that talk, listen, I don't agree with it. This church isn't supposed to copy your social needs. That's your responsibility. This church is responsible to preach the book and stand on holiness and righteousness and proclaim the truth and lift up your voice and cry aloud and give the gospel that others might hear and saints might be encouraged and the church might grow in spirit and truth and knowledge and grace and wisdom. Boy, that today's Christianity, oh, they're just not seeker-friendly. Neither is a Bengals game. If you go to a game, and I've never been to one, but I've been down passing out tracts after a Bengals game, and they all come out of that stadium drunker than skunks. I quit going. Hazardous to your health. Bunch of heathen. So unchurched people who come into our fellowship ought to leave saying to themselves, I've never seen anything like this on earth. I guarantee you, if Sunday morning the congregation lift their voice up and sang some old hymn, and there'd be some people sitting around here. I mean, if you sing like it was a roar at some kind of festive out in the world someplace, but you sang as unto the Lord, full of holiness and the Spirit of God, and the people would lift their voice. I've been in churches like that. Our church is not like that. Oh, we have special music. We have music. But our congregation is dead. You say, why? Well, that mech church thing's looking better and better. The church should be a preview on heaven. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We're too busy trucking in the world, trying to be like the world, trying to be like Hollywood and everybody else. I mean, we got it all down. And we quit having church. We got something besides church. That's why I love the church, because I got saved, born again, and got in church. Are you in love with the church tonight? Are you saved? If you are, you ought to love the church. You should be a member of the local church. Ah, just wherever I go, I'm a member, you know, part of the invisible body of Christ. Listen. Only one time in the scripture does he say anything about an invisible body. Every time he mentions the word church, it's a local assembly. So give me that old stuff. I can get just close to God out in the deer stands. I can't anyplace else. Man, you're so far off base, you ain't even funny anymore. Get in church. Get serious. I love the church. It's where God feeds his sheep through his pastors. It is where God fellowships with his local body and assembly. It's where God favors and blesses those that fellowship in his plan. It's where God fortifies his visible body. It is where God finds us joined together with our other saints in the Lord. It is where God furnishes us with the seven ministries of the Holy Ghost of God. And I don't have time. It's a whole other message. It's where God finished us. Finishes us for the ministries he wants us involved in. I guess my question to you tonight is, in my crazy way, do you love the church? And I'm appealing to you because of my text. Husbands, of your wife. You remember when she asked you, oh, you hadn't known each other very long at all. Honey, do you love me? You said, you looked at her real strange, like, what am I getting myself into? If you love me, you would tell me you love me. Well, I keep showing up, don't I? That don't mean you love me. Well, I'll be here next Friday. Honey, don't you love me? Don't you want to marry me? Husbands, love your wives. What? Even as Christ loves the church. Finally, when she got you tripped into saying, I love you. Oh, when we get married. Well, whenever I can afford a ring. I bought a couple the other day on eBay. Ain't a husband in here doesn't love his wife if you're with her tonight, been with her at any time at all. And if you don't love her, shame on you. You ought to love her. And if she needs 20 bucks, give her 20 bucks. Amen, huh? You say, what are you saying? I said, look, if you can understand how a man loves a woman and how a woman loves a man, that thing goes both ways, then you ought to understand the relationship that we ought to have for the church. Not because we're perfect, we're imperfect. But because we got a perfect book and we've got a perfect indweller that lights our way. So if you're not in love with the church tonight, would you reconsider what the scripture says about it? Would you fall in love with the church? Oh, I know everybody's not going to fall in love with the church. We're going to continue to have our Sunday morning crowd and folks that just skip in, skip. I got all that. But if just one or two people would get a clear signal from God, love me. Tell him you love him. Tell him you're for the church. You want to be a part of this eternal thing. Fall in. You know what? I didn't realize any of that when I got saved. I was just a kid. I was just 12. But you know, at 12 years old, I looked at the church differently than I'd ever looked at it before. I saw all those people. I went to the funerals. I went to the revivals. I went to the prayer meetings. I went to the cottage prayer meetings. And I kept seeing all these people. The common denominator was the Lord. And the love we had for God. And the love we had for this old book. So tonight, I guess what I'm trying to say, if you haven't told your wife you love her in a while, tell her you love her. Like Christ loved the church. Let's stand.